Hello and welcome to season 3 of the Not Just a Lawyer podcast. I'm Sarah Avery, and today I'll be picking up right where I left off. I'll be talking about what are human rights without a remedy. Actually, there's been a significant development in the Australian Capital Territory. This week is NAIDOC week, and I acknowledge that I'm recording this podcast on the traditional lands of the Ngunnawal, Ngunnawal and Ngambri people. I pay my respects to their elders past and present and those who are emerging. And I acknowledge that sovereignty was never ceded. Well, it's fitting to pick up right where I left off in December of 2021. My last episode posed the question, what are rights without a remedy? And I was reporting on a petition that was put forward to the ACT Legislative Assembly. Because while we do have human rights laws in the ACT, sometimes there aren't affordable ways to enforce those rights. But I have a really important update. In June 2022, the Legislative Assembly for the Australian Capital Territory Standing Committee on Justice and Community Safety published its report into the inquiry into Petition 3221, No Rights Without Remedy. And put simply, one recommendation was made. And that recommendation is that the ACT government support and enact the terms of the petition to create a system that mirrors the current approach with respect to discrimination complaints. And that's it. That is the recommendation, recommendation one. Now, that sounds pretty straightforward, and it doesn't sound like much is happening, but actually, if you know the contents of that petition, you'll know that this is really significant. So let me refresh your memory on that. Well, in summary, what the petition called for was for the Legislative Assembly to amend the Human Rights Act to enable a complaint about any breach of the Human Rights Act to be made to the Human Rights Commission for confidential conciliation. And if that conciliation is unsuccessful, to enable a complaint about a breach of the Human Rights Act to be made to the ACT Civil and Administrative Tribunal. It was seen that the proposal would supplement the Human Rights Commission's existing complaints powers. And I'll talk a little bit more about why it was seen as necessary to do this, which is what the committee eventually found to be the case. We'll talk about some of the reasons why this is seen as desirable. The three main problems with the way things have been set up so far in the ACT is that, one, it's too expensive to pursue a remedy. Two, it takes too long to get a remedy. And three, well, a lot of the remedies that people might need are just not available. So let me tease this out a little bit. Well, first, you have to seek a remedy in the ACT Supreme Court. Most people cannot afford it. It's super expensive if you want a lawyer to represent you there. It can be really hard to represent yourself. There are technical issues that you will need to be able to talk about. And also, just simply putting the documents together is a pretty huge process. And on top of that, a lot of people who need to try to enforce their rights are vulnerable people. So you add on to the cost and the complexity, the reality that courts are very intimidating, even if they try not to be. I know that there are efforts by the courts to be more accessible, including by having officers there to assist people with disability. But the reality is courts are intimidating. They are complicated. To get a successful outcome in them is something that is generally beyond the reach of a self-represented person. Now, I mentioned delay. The Supreme Court deals with all sorts of things. And sometimes human rights complaints are things that need an immediate remedy. If your rights are being trampled on, you don't want to have to wait, 18 months to 24 months, 2 years to get something sorted out. You will likely need an outcome pretty fast. Now, that's just my estimate of how long it might take in the court based on the way lists were running in the past. It could be faster, it could be longer. And with COVID getting in the way sometimes, I would suggest that there's a degree of uncertainty about the time frame involved. But I can tell you that to get a matter on in the Supreme Court does involve a bit of a delay. So those are the first two factors. The third factor is that actually, if your remedy needs to be compensation, if you need to be paid some money to try and put you back into the position that you would have been in without your human right being breached, the Supreme Court didn't have the power to mandate that compensation be paid. So a lot of the things that people might have needed to try and get out of the current system are just out of reach for the everyday person, but particularly for vulnerable people who are often financially marginalized or else have other barriers to engaging with the court system. But as I said, appearing in court for yourself when you're not a lawyer is very intimidating and will often not lead to a good outcome. So basically, the system was not set up to do what it needs to do. So the committee who inquired found this to be the case, and they have accepted what was put forward in the petition. It will be really interesting to see how things go moving ahead, but we can anticipate that the law will be changed and the processes that are needed will be implemented sooner rather than later. That leaves me with one thing that I think is far from perfect, and I'll talk about that in just a moment. Before I talk about the lack of perfection, I'd like to acknowledge the huge amount of work done by people putting forward this submission in the first place. Change the Record, Sophie Trevitt of Change the Record was instrumental in putting this forward, but did not act alone, of course. Lots of really excellent ACT community legal centres were involved, for example, Canberra Community Law, and positions were also put forward by places like Legal Aid. A lot of these places, as I've said before, deal with people in the community who are the most vulnerable. And Canberra Community Law put forward a few de-identified case studies to highlight why the current process is inappropriate. I'll tell you a little bit about those now. Canberra Community Law used examples based on actual clients who have sought their assistance. So first, they referred to Trisha, a public housing resident with cognitive and mental health disabilities, living with a disabled mother who was moved into aged care, leaving Trisha as an unapproved resident facing homelessness with limited options to have that decision reviewed. Other examples were Peter, an Indigenous detainee at the Alexander McConaughey Centre with mental health disabilities and severely disadvantaged background, facing human rights limitations due to his behaviour, who is unlikely to be able to make a complaint to the Supreme Court. Now, let me just expand on that. Sometimes people in the jail are put under strict management conditions that might limit who they can be around with. I'm having a problem with my being articulate right now, but people they can associate with, their time out of their cells, their access to programs. So those are restrictions on their human rights. Canberra Community Law also gave the example of Kaylee, a 14-year-old former detainee at Bimbury with behavioural problems who is on release and is unwelcome at her local high school and unable to make a complaint about her lack of human rights to suitable education. And the last example that was given was Ryan, a detainee at the AMC, that's the Alexander McConaughey Centre, on the path to reform after overcoming his alcohol addictions, but he lost his ACT housing while incarcerated and therefore had no home to be paroled to and had no accessible complaint mechanism. And you'll see from the examples, of course, those names were changed, provided by Canberra Community Law, that people who need their rights protected and need to enforce them sometimes have very complex issues. So you can see why, in my view, it's desirable that this goes forward. But let me talk to you about what I don't think is so great. ACT policing will not be subject to the new law. They had concerns about being included, and they put forward that there are an extensive number of existing complaint mechanisms and oversight bodies in place, including the Victims Charter. They queried the value of an additional process that would affect them. Contrasting this, the ACT Human Rights Commission considered that ACT policing should be included. And ultimately, the committee making the inquiry decided that there were already existing human rights complaint avenues available in relation to ACT policing. They thought it would be really complex to apply the proposal because the ACT policing has an arrangement with the federal police, and they thought that there wasn't enough evidence given that there was a gap or problem in relation to human rights complaint avenues about police. That's really unfortunate. I suspect that if they were minded to look into that properly, they would find that there was indeed a gap, because anecdotally, acting for clients in the past who have made complaints about police, they generally haven't been taken up with much gusto. We do have some exceptions where the conduct of police has come under great scrutiny in the ACT, and some of those matters involve, quite a while ago now, police officers who were subjecting people in custody to unnecessary capsicum spraying, which led those officers to be charged with assault and things like that. But in terms of the more day-to-day breaches of people's rights or alleged breaches of people's rights, my experience has not seen particularly forthcoming acceptance when things have been done that are objectively wrong. So that's my main, I guess, complaint in relation to the outcome of this inquiry, that is that it doesn't apply to ACT policing. So on balance, a very good outcome with something that perhaps can be addressed in the future. It might be remiss of me not to mention, in fact, the Australian Lawyers for Human Rights involvement in this. I mentioned Sophie Trevitt as Executive Officer of Change the Record. She's also the ACT co-chair of Australian Lawyers for Human Rights. But there were, as I said, a number of organisations involved in making submissions and also appearing as witnesses. Among those people, we had solicitors from Canberra Community Law, representatives of the ACT Bar Association, representatives from the ACT Human Rights Commission, representatives from Legal Aid ACT, representatives from the ACT Ombudsman, ACT Policing, Civil Liberties Australia, Ministers for Human Rights, and we also had a number of submissions from organisations that represent a lot of vulnerable people in the Canberra community in particular, such as Meridian, an important advocate for LGBTIQA plus people, along with the Environmental Defenders Office, another community legal centre, Advocacy for Inclusion, ADACAS, that's the ACT Disability, Aged and Carer Advocacy Service, and a number of individuals and community bodies who took an interest in this matter. So there you go. Back on the tools, back to the Not Just a Lawyer podcast. And it's nice to be able to start season 3 reporting on an outcome from the last episode of season 2. I'm going to be putting these episodes out more sporadically. I haven't done it for a while because I was very privileged to work on a contract basis at Canberra Community Law. That kept me very busy, and some news that I have is that I'm finishing up working full-time as a lawyer, and I'm actually going to be heading into full-time study in physiotherapy. I've been doing that for a while now, part-time, and it is time to indeed take up the mantle of being not just a lawyer and focus more on allied health. But I still want to keep my fingers on the pulse, so to speak, health-wise and law-wise, so I will be talking to you about important developments in the legal sphere, as well as other things that might be of interest to you that take my fancy. Thanks so much for joining me again on the Not Just a Lawyer podcast. I hope that you are doing something to get up, stand up, and show up this NAIDOC week. Thank you again for listening, and take care of yourself. I'll be back in a week or two, depending on what news arises in the legal sphere. Thanks for listening.